The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
In honor of a village called Jim Bay Village. Mr. Moxie was a true inspiration to me. In fact, he helped to make me the man that I am today. I'm gonna relive this song tonight. And I want all the singers in the house to join me in the la-las.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 23rd of January, 2026, and you are on the clock with, I don't know, Bejarina Green. Listen, let me tell y'all something. Y'all don't understand what it means to be wooed. You don't understand what it means to be courted until you have a Bahamian man write a song for you or about you. And the best part is when they don't actually call your name, but you know they talking about you. See, that's how I think about it. Every love song ever written in the Bahamas was written to me, for me, and about me. Especially that one called Bush Medicine by Ed Moxie. When he shout out Bejarina, that's him calling me. He calling me from the bush, telling me come home and fix him up right. See, there's so much beauty to be explored right here within our own culture. Now, we got lots to talk about this morning. A little housekeeping before I introduce my guest. Today is Friday, the 23rd of January, 2026. My Hannah Hasty Tynes people, we got 1 week. 1 week to get all the Hannah Hasty Tynes people to St. John's Auditorium, 7 p.m., Thursday, the 29th. Of January, Thursday, 29th of January. We have in our January meeting, we're going to be discussing the most recent details for the upcoming 2026 HHT family reunion. Be there. Okay, January 23rd is the 23rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. We got 342 days left in this year. Oh boy. That's a lot of time to do a lot of stuff. Let's take advantage of it. Also, on this day in history, January 23rd, 2018, the China-United States trade war begins with when President Donald Trump placed tariffs on Chinese solar panels and washing machines. See, we didn't take it seriously then because we got plenty, plenty sun. We wasn't even thinking about it when he put the tariff on salty, though. When he put the tariff on salty and sandwich bag for baggy, we have a problem. January 23rd, 1972, here's an interesting tidbit from history. January 23rd, 1972, the entire population of Istanbul was placed under 24-hour house arrest. Wow. The entire population of Istanbul. is placed under 24-hour house arrest. I tell you what, if I go back to my winter pear tree and I don't find no pear on it, I put in all of New Providence on a 24-hour house arrest. For those people who still have winter pears on their tree, don't forget the rest of us, please. Don't forget the rest of us. Okay, so I'm going to get into the conversation with my guests this morning. I know y'all be talking NFL. I know y'all be talking NFL all the time. Today, we don't have time to get into it. All I could say is Broncos versus Patriots, Seahawks versus Rams. The conference finals championship's going to be exciting because the division winners took it straight to the end. Let's see if they could make it to the Super Bowl. All right, joining me this morning, like today is just a day of culture. I have a representative from the Ministry of National Security joining us today. Today we are celebrating the approaching Community Centers Awareness Week. I'm very excited about this initiative, this idea, this discussion. Good morning, sir. Please introduce yourself to the people.
Good morning, people. My name is Bennett Ramming, and I represent one of the representatives for the National Security Community Centers Awareness Week.
Yes, sir.
I am the activities coordinators for the community centers.
I'm glad that they sent you. I have some concerns about these activities.
Oh, Lord.
Let's start from the beginning. I only see Bouncing Castle once on this list of fun things to do.
Well, I promise you, at the end of the day, you're going to have a lot in your mind.
As I sit next to the Bouncing Castle and watch the children bounce away. Listen, this is a week full of activities, an opportunity to explore your local community centers. More importantly, an opportunity to let young people know what resources are available to them in their community. So let's just, why Community Center Awareness Week? Why this format? And then let's get into the schedule of events.
Why? A lot of people don't even realize what these community centers are all about. As a matter of fact, when somebody hear the word community center, they're thinking urban renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's separate and apart.
Okay.
Totally different. And I promise you, you walk into any of these centers any given time, and I'm going to name them off for you in a minute, and you'll realize that some things are happening in our Bahamas that you really want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit at home, watch TV, listen to music, whatever you feel like doing. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when you step out from your comfort zone and see what's going on in these centers, be it in the day or in the evenings, you'll be like, what are you doing home all the time? Let me get involved in some of these things that's happening at these centers.
Yeah.
And like I tell you, you got to walk into them.
Yeah.
And you got to see exactly what's going on.
And for parents, for guardians, for older family members and community members, like if you're the uncle that mom is asked to watch the kids in that little period between end of school and she get home from work, now you got a resource available to you.
Right there available. And everything is free.
Yeah.
Now, there are some times when you may want to have a get-together, a little party or
I can rent a space?
You can rent a space.
Okay.
To any one of the centers.
All right.
Like I said, just get in contact with the center managers and you'll see that there's some amazing things that can happen.
Look here, there's somebody out here who is sort of supporting small NGOs and organizations
right.
financially so that they can publicize what it is they're doing.
Exactly.
I'm sure some youth organizations can find a donor or a sponsor like that who would say, listen, if you got an activity, I reside in this community and I will support you using the community center.
That's it right there.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right. This is awesome.
Yes. And yes, one of my brothers is walking to listen, man. Devon Rose from the Fox Hill Community Center. He's here with me. Welcome, my brother.
Or Donovan Rose.
Donovan Rose? Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, ma'am. I'm great. Aaron, before you even start, if you need a bouncing castle, just say so. Just say so.
Listen, I need a bouncing castle.
That's what I tell you.
But I need one with the guardrails.
No. You gotta, it's soft enough. Don't worry about it. Well, that's why bouncing castle need for people
out here. So she need handicap. You need a handicap.
See what I say?
Bouncing castle.
I don't like the aspersions that y'all are casting.
I end this with you.
Because it's such a delight to sit and watch kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? They just free themselves. It's abandoned.
You feel like getting involved yourself.
Of course.
But they just jump and land on top of each other and say ow and stuff like that. We can't take
that no more.
We can't.
That's why it's only going to be two people in the castle at a time.
Say less.
Still, they got to put barricade in there.
Yeah, and one is just, that's the buddy system. They to watch for when you can't get up and call some young people to pull you out the castle.
No worries.
But it's wonderful to have you here. So we have, in this week of events, we are celebrating the Edmund Moxie Community Center.
Yes, on the 26th. Which is Lunch and Learn.
That's Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
And
right.
Then Fox Hill is Food, Folks, and Fun, which is on the 27th.
Right.
Nassau Village is chefing it up.
Now, listen, stick a pin there.
Yeah.
I got to say good morning to Gabrielle Simonet, right? She is she's a resident in Nassau Village. She has a business in Nassau Village, right? And she's a part of the community. She's a community actor and stakeholder, right? So I'm very excited to see the Nassau. Now, I know that the Nassau Village Community Center was opened in 2023, right?
Right.
But it's just great to see the level of support and programming.
25.
You sure 25?
Yes, ma'am.
Because
2 years ago.
I was reading, I was reading online. Maybe it was completed in 2023. Because I know what you're saying. I thought it was started in 2023. But I was reading online, and one of these stories say 2023. But I'm mad at that.
But that's not it.
This is what I said.
It opened up.
That there are actors in Nassau Village who have been doing activism work, advocating, supporting people, and now there's a community center, right, that can help them enhance what they're doing, support what they're doing.
Exactly.
I just love it. So I got to send a shout out to Gabrielle Simonet, because I ain't really been in Nassau Village since my Aunt Helen Mitchell left Nassau Village.
That sounds like a long time.
You know what I'm saying, right? And so I was glad that she kind of brought me back to see what was happening. This is exciting times. And then chefing it up, because she's a chef. That's why I make the connection.
But see, I like how you're saying this, because we have to let the people know the community center is there for everyone. From 8 to 80.
Yeah.
All abilities. And oftentimes people see the center as something standalone or they can't contribute. But you mentioned this artisan who's in the area. Yeah. We let her know that this community center, whether it's Edmund Moxie, Fox Hill, Nassau Village, or the Noose, Quaker Street, a new community center is coming online. If you are doing something positive in the community and you need a safe space to put that on, or you have a program, this is what the community center is for. It's for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, I don't know if we need to talk about this, but it's just, these spaces are so nice. And they are offered at a very affordable rate to do
events
in.
Yeah.
So if you want, you don't have to go outside the community to do it. You can invite people to your community and make things happen.
Right in there.
So if you want to contribute, if you want to do some community service, we are there for you. If we have programs that you think are not suiting your particular community center, bring it to us. We're here to make, while we have some programs that we're going to do across each community center, some community center things specific to them just based on the demographic of their community.
I know, listen, I sign up for the sign language class.
Mm-hmm.
They teach in raccoon sign language. And I done sign up in Fox Hill. Fox Hill is the place. I could be there.
But let me tell you now. This here is Donovan Rowe, the manager for the Fox Hill Community Center.
Yes, okay. Sir.
And so you see what we bring here just now, we bring in some wisdom now. But let's go from the beginning again. Let's go from the
So day one.
Day one is, and we just finished playing that Edmund Moxie song, right?
That's right.
Okay, and so we're going to start at the Edmund Moxie Center. And this is called Lunch
and Learn.
And a tour. We're going to have somebody touring you throughout the Edmund Moxie Center, telling you the different things that Edmund Moxie did over the years.
Yeah.
The center manager, Cleo Strawn.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very efficient. She will give you all of the information of what needs to happen as you walk through. You're going to get your little snack and you learn some stuff. Okay?
Lunch.
It's free.
Free.
These are the words I like. Lunch, learn, and free. These are the words for the day.
Only investment you need to make is investment of time.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's it.
And listen, and the beauty of community centers is that young people can walk easily accessible.
Yes.
They don't need to catch ride. They don't need to wait to hope a bus come in. You know, they can carry themselves there, carry themselves back.
Yes, right.
Absolutely. So that's Monday, day one, Lunch and Learn, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Yes.
Day two, Fox Hill Community Center, Food, Folks, and Fun. What's the folks part?
Fox Hill is one of the original communities in the Bahamas. So, and that's why we're doing the folks part, because we want to bring it back
to the people. So we're letting you know we're going to have, while we're learning, we can call our one recess because we can have a good time.
Listen, you're going to
have a good time.
You're going to have Mark the Raccoon.
You keep on talking. You
Whisperer, seen like, you to seen teach like, us the safe way to interact and not interact with raccoons.
See, you seem to have the raccoon connect. So yeah. You need to be our raccoon person to put on this class because we don't have all the answers.
No, man, the fox hill guy, Mark, he's the guy. He have a little baby raccoon in his shirt.
But let me tell you the special thing that's happening at
Fox Hill.
At Fox Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we normally like to cater to the females.
Yeah.
The children. And the elderly,
yeah.
Ladies,
yes.
We want the man to come out. We're pushing for the man to come out to be a part of it. We want the man to outdo
absolutely.
The rest. Now, that's possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's come play some game and see if you can beat
men
role playing some domino.
I don't lose.
You don't lose it.
That's tough. Connect four, domino, card,
anything.
Walk in. I competitive, Aaron.
MP Adrian White, call MP Fred Mitchell and tell him we have a domino challenge happening right now. Because this place say he is the best.
Tuesday,
and I from
on.
Listen, I from St. Anne's constituency. Okay. I am not even the best. I even the best in St. Anne's. Wait till I bring them to y'all. Okay. Food, folks, and fun. Right? There's so many characters in Fox Hill community. We learned about Baigadu, the songwriter who used to sit on the wall opposite Miriam Roker house and apparently wrote that intro to the song that Edmund Moxie sings.
Right.
Don't mind Livingston Josiah. But the song is Josiah is the JP, right? And Ronnie Butler used that in the beginning of Burma Road.
Yes.
Don't mind Livingston Josiah is the JP, right? So it's just, when you say folks, I know we're going to some interesting characters that breathe life into Fox Hill.
Yes.
All right, day 3, Nassau Village Community Center, chefing it up for our elderly and disabled communities.
And Nassau Village catered to a lot to the elderly and the disabled.
Absolutely.
Okay, and so that manager who is Christoph Mitchell, he's going to bring in a special chef.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he's the only chef in the Bahamas who was nominated for a Grammy.
I know Brentford was nominated
That is Simeon Hall Jr.
Yeah.
He's gonna be there. He's gonna do his thing.
Simeon Hall Jr. can
yes,
be
ma'am.
There.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, listen, Fox, like, I need y'all to lend Simeon the rock oven because he's a rock oven man. He could bake in. He could take the breadfruit and put it in the outside oven and it'd come out like a loaf of bread.
Have another engagement, so
let's
fast forward a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
To Saturday.
Okay.
The Fun Run Walk.
Fun Run Walk. So it's starting Saturday, 6:30 from R.M. Bailey Park to Edmund Moxie Community Center.
Okay.
And we have 7 divisions, 12 and under, 13 to 19, 20 to 29, 30 to 39, 40 to 49, 50 to 59, and 60 plus. Everyone can win something, man and woman, runner or walker. And they say, Jay, but Donovan, if we get there, how we can get back? But we have shuttles taking you back and forth from Edmund Moxie to R.M. Bailey.
Where your car is parked.
And we administer national security, so you know things
are secure. Your things can be secure.
Yes. And then if you want, catch a ride to R.M., right? Just come to one of the community centers and a bus can ship you and transport you and shuttle you to R.M.
Listen,
too.
Beulah Gyal, I need y'all to get ready. Beulah Gyal from the Crime Stoppers commercial. Miss So-and-so who put Johnny in the big boy washer at Superwash, right? Loretta Butler-Turner and the woman who walked the Prime Minister into Gambier Village the other night. That's your security team. We could be there.
Say less.
We could secure
Say
them
less.
Cars. We got
but
it.
I thought I could need you on the street to help with traffic control.
You,
I know you're traffic control person.
I was trying to get...
Listen to you now. Aaron, don't switch on me.
I was trying to get into the 50 to 59 category to see if I could pull off a win. But I ain't going to make it. All right, so Saturday...
Free.
We love it. Saturday morning, what time I need to be there?
You need to be there ahead of time.
5:30?
5:30. It's 6 o'clock because we can start the warm-up. We can have the prayer and all it because we're starting promptly at 6:30.
Yes, please pray for me.
At 6:29:59, the gun can say pop, and we're gone.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
And you can sign up. You get your swag bags. Everyone gets his finisher medals. So just come on, and then we're going to have fun in the community. You can talk with what happens after
Listen,
that.
Listen, this Mr. Roll, if you see him, he's so fit. I sure, wherever he going, he's going to jog there right now.
He already have a new name now, you know.
What's it?
Dr. Fitness.
It looks so. What fraternity do you belong to, sir?
I'm Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity.
Give him a shout out.
I can get too wild in the show there, and I got to calm down in my capacity. Well, I need to give a shout out to the brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Boo, Phi!
Listen, you see what they're producing?
Yeah, I see what they're producing.
They're producing role models and stakeholders in the community. Okay, so I got a call on the line. I know you have to go, Mr. Roll. Thank you very much. You let the raccoons know I come in.
Yes.
Just let them know I come in. We could do this. Fox Hill community, we come in. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Grin.
Yes, sir.
I'm listening to your show.
Yes.
And every 8 minutes, the show go off. I have to bring it back up on the internet.
Okay, so we have an issue.
For the past couple of weeks.
Okay, I will let the technicians know that on the issue, we have an intermittent issue where the show keeps dropping. All right, I apologize.
Yeah, but I like to listen to your show, but I just called to let you know because I listen into it, and every time it's something getting exciting, it just go off.
Yeah, that could be frustrating.
Yeah, very frustrating.
Absolutely. And if I tell you guys, give out the lottery numbers when it drop, you'll be so mad.
Because he ain't get it.
Yes, sir.
I don't worry about the lottery.
I understand. My own luck. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I'll pass that on to the technical team. Thank you, sir. All right. So let's go to day four, Thursday, the 29th.
This is Kwaku Street. It's called Culture Vibes on Kwaku.
Yes.
Okay. So and here. And this is Belinda Chipman.
Okay.
She's the center manager for that
all right.
For Kwaku Street.
Good morning, Belinda Chipman.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And so Belinda's going to have some stuff. And again, the start is at 1 a.m. I'm sorry.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Yep.
Okay. And we'll have another day of food, fun, Bahamian culture.
Local artists.
Yeah.
Storytellers. Yes, I hope you all could get Princess Pratt Award winning storyteller down there to tell. She's from Cat Island.
Oh, she's from my island.
Also, a small word. Listen, our friend Princess Pratt's mother is in need of blood donations at the hospital. Right? So if you are familiar with the Princess Pratt family, you go down there and let them know you've come to donate blood for Mrs. Pratt. I want to get her first name, but you know, I just call her Mrs. Pratt and Mummy Pratt.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? That's her name to me, but I can find it before the end of the week. Let's support the Pratt family and get down there with some donations if we can. I can't find the flyer at this moment. That's okay, but support the Blood Black Bank. If you can donate, just donate. But remember, if you're donating for someone specifically, indicate who that person is. The blood may not go directly to them, but it's for the purpose of ensuring that the blood bank can stay at its capacity standard.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. So let's get back to Thursday, January the 29th.
We have some face painting.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And we're going to have some bouncing castle for you.
That's why I'm excited.
You don't know, we might have some senior citizen bouncing castle.
If one of y'all don't bring a little tiny senior citizen bouncing castle out there for us. All right. Games and activities.
Yes.
Horse and buggy rides.
Now remember, now we're over the hill.
Yes, yes.
Kwaku Street.
Yes, yes.
This is where this thing was originated.
Okay.
Along in that area.
Yes.
So you're going to have your horse and bouncing, and of course.
Junk on
there. Yeah.
Ooh, junk on me. That's right. We love it. We love it. Okay.
Four days particularly. Let's go with the four
days. Well, day one, day two, day three, day four. Community centers.
We take a break
Friday.
On Friday for preparation.
Yeah.
For the fun run walk and the all-day activities on the Edmund Moxie Center.
Absolutely.
All day.
All day.
And all day is consistent of so many different things.
6 a.m. until we start at R.M. Bailey Park. We'll be there for 5:30 so you can register, warm up, get yourself ready. We're going to have a collective prayer session.
Right. That's right.
We get on that march. We walk in, running, jogging, rolling to Edmund Moxie Center. And then after the walk, it's an all-day fair.
Starting at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Because you're going to have the fun run walk ceremonies and you know, awards.
You're going to give me my medal.
Hopefully.
Good stuff.
And then at 9 o'clock until.
All right.
We're going to have a whole lot of stuff going on. Now, listen to this now. The boots, the government boots, all going to be on the ground.
So,
and when I say it like that, what I'm saying is we're going to have boots, for, or we're going to have different tents set up for people to come and for the police force, sign up for the Defense Force.
Okay.
Sign up for the different, different sports
agencies. Absolutely.
Of course. Okay. And then we're going to have some people. You want to register to vote? We're going to have
You want to verify? You want to determine if you need to verify whether your polling division has been moved to another constituency, whether the condition of your voter's card is sufficient for the next election, or you should replace it. Good stuff.
So this day, next week, Saturday, the 31st, is going to be holistic. Absolutely, everybody can come. There's something for absolutely everybody.
You
may get a little rake and scrape direction from this Rami brother.
Listen, I'm going to find, that's what I was about to say. We're going to find these mic check, these young people with their red mic dropping it everywhere. We need to have a community recording studio at the Edmund Moxie Community Center.
That sounds good.
Listen, I got to go.
We can work this.
I got to start buying my Bengay and wrapping up my knees, stretching out, and getting ready for the fun run walk on Saturday the 31st. Saturday the 31st of January 2026, starting at R.M. Bailey Park. We are fun run walking all the way to the Edmund Moxie Center, 6 to 9, then the ceremonies, then the fair, and it's all day. You got to be there. Mr. Ramin, next time you come, you guys sing for me.
Okay, I promise you, I will.
There you go, sir.
All right.
And I will prepare my voice to do the same.
A little alto on the side. That wouldn't bad. That's not a bad thing.
There you go.
All right.
Because I from the bush.
All right.
Anyway, you guys, stay tuned to On the Clock with Aaron Green. We got another set of fabulous guests coming up. But, we're so excited about the Ministry of National Security Community Centers Awareness Week. Get involved, man. Get involved.
That's it.
You guys have a... I was about to tell them, have a great day. Have a great break. Go get your snack. Go get your lemonade or your coconut water, and then run right back to the radio. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Take that mess from off the wall. Give that baby back its ball. Leave all the people things alone. There's other ways to get involved. Get involved, get involved. Don't be no fool, stay in school.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Get Involved Green. Y'all don't understand. You see Cody's? You remember Cody's? My daddy had this song. And he played this so much till we loved it. Like, inundated it with us until we didn't even know why we loved it yet. And now as an adult, I understand why I loved it so much. Volunteerism is so important. This morning, we have another group of people who I call volunteers because academia and education, even when you're getting paid, you're volunteering, right? This service to the community. We have representatives from the Department of English Studies at the University of the Bahamas. Listen, the College of Liberal and Fine Arts School of English Studies invites you to a milestone moment. Thursday, 29th of January, 2026, 7 p.m. at the Harry Seymour Library, University of the Bahamas. The 20th Anatole Rogers Memorial Lecture. This is a moment. This is a moment. 20th lecture. What a wonderful series. I'm going to let them tell us a bit more about it, because I can be honest with y'all, I am so excited about this topic. Story too long for one night. Indigenous survivance, slavery's afterlives, and Bahamian decolonial thought. I may not be able to attend this event, but I want to let my lecturers know that I'm going to be at the Hannah Hasty Times Family Association meeting. So technically, we could be talking indigenous survival, slavery afterlives, and I can try to throw in some Bahamian decolonial thought. But it's not going to be the same thing. So tell us about the 20th lecture in the series, and then about our guest.
Okay, good morning. Do I start?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm Dr. A. Marie Searsing from School of English, University of the Bahamas. And I'm delighted to be here with Erin discussing this topic. The Anatole Rogers Memorial Lecture Series is a signature event of the University of the Bahamas. As you mentioned, it's in its 20th year. And, you know, though we have 2006 as the marker year, the beginning year, we did have one lecture in 2005, which was delivered by Joanne Hippolyte. It had not yet been dubbed the Anatole Rogers Memorial Lecture, but that was the inception of the lecture series. I just wanted to mention that, by the way. And consistently since 2006, we've had a lecture every single year.
Yes.
Of course, being now in its 20th year. Significant, very, we're all very excited about, you know, the longevity of this and, you know, it augurs well for continuation in the future and so on. And so, you know, that's as a beginning to speak in broad terms about the lecture series itself. You know, we've had a series of presenters from creative writers to cultural producers to theorists.
Two lectures I'll never forget. And it's Walcott.
Indeed.
Right. I had an opportunity to speak with him afterwards. I just like a treasure. What an interesting old man he was. And I think he would appreciate, right, like the descriptor. He wouldn't be upset and say, oh, that's too irreverent for me. And Carolyn Cooper
was in 2007.
Right. What a fascinating sort of introspection and look into sort of Jamaican culture. For me, as an LGBTI rights advocate, it sort of opened up the nuances of advocacy and resistance, right? Like in colonial spaces, because how would you attempt to have a human rights discussion of that nature during Marcus Garvey's time, right? Mm-hmm. Like you trying to talk freedom for everybody, how do you then say, hey, listen, I think we have to include the gay people too, you know, right? But that lecture opened up that line of inquiry for me.
Yeah.
Just fascinating opportunities for thinkers and readers and people to interact and intersect with the ideas that are presented at the lecture series.
Yeah, and just understanding the dimensionality of diversity and what that means. The discourse is not unilateral, it's not, you know, for particular groups only, but the idea of, you know, the inclusionist thrust of this series.
Right, and they're so relevant because at that time, Kagame, Ugandan woman parliamentarian, was the chair of the Commonwealth Parliamentarians Group, and they came to the Bahamas at the time when they were discussing the Kill the Gays bill. Mm-hmm. And so sort of the intersection of her presence here and then Carolyn Cooper's words and the framing that she sort of opened up. It's just like magical, man. I want to encourage all university students, if you have an opportunity, you got to get out there. And in the moment, it may feel boring to you, you know, for a moment, but trust me, the ideas will begin to bloom in your mind.
Yeah, and speaking of that, the whole idea of it is to engender in students, you're not just coming to grab 3 credits and run. You know, you are part of a university community, and the things, the lectures and so on that are, you know, being put on, you know, that's part and parcel of what constitutes your education, the involvement, mm-hmm. and so on. You know, they shouldn't shy away. They shouldn't make the time, actually.
Yeah.
To come. And so, you know, we have ways of sort of
incentivizing them.
That's right.
Credits.
Lovely word.
You want to give them credits? Give them credits. Listen, young people, you got to negotiate with your lecturers, right? It may require a book report, all right, or a small essay explaining the value of the opportunity that they've given you credits for. But that's how you earn the credits. That's how you earn the credits. Okay, so our guest speaker this year is, first of all...
Well, I'm Dr. Peter Bailey.
Good morning.
And good morning. We're proud to present Dr. Melinda Smith as this year's Anatole Rogers Memorial Lecturer. Mm-hmm. And she is a Bahamian.
She's not just a Bahamian. Let me say it. She's a QC Comet.
There you go.
Yeah, we couldn't forget that, right?
Yes. No, not at all. Not at all.
Yes. But it's very important for us in the 20th year, this lecture, to bring it home, you know, and make sure that we have somebody who is representing the Bahamas on the international stage as a major thinker. So Dr. Melinda S. Smith, she's a full professor of political science, and she's also associate vice president of research at the University of Calgary. She's the first Bahamian and first black woman in Canada to earn a PhD in political science, and indeed the first black woman to hold a senior leadership position at any university or college.
Stick a pin. It'd have to be a Bahamian, you know.
I know, right?
Because we underestimate the value of Bahamian women in politics. We don't see them on the front line, and so we assume or presume that that is a diminished value in the space. But that the first black woman PhD in political science is a Bahamian, hold on, and that her mother, Smith credits her late mother with fueling her passion for justice and fairness. Quote, she was formidable and courageous, and there was nothing she thought her children couldn't do. She said, quote, whenever I was struggling with something, she would say to me, Melinda, you'll figure it out. Let me tell y'all something about Bahamian woman misery. It's energy. These perpetuate energy. It makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense that this is her walk. Mm-hmm. All right. So she also secured a scholarship in a very Bahamian way. So she played field hockey. She was very good. She went to visit her sister at university. And her sister said, psst, psst, coach, look here. My sister could do this, you know. And the coach said, let's try it out. Mind you, she'd already had a career, like a experience in field hockey. She got a scholarship. And then when the program sort of collapsed, man, it says they had cuts in her freshman year. She was offered full scholarships to Stanford, University of California at Berkeley, University of California, Northwestern, and Western Michigan. But she chose Michigan because of the affordability, and I'm sure not because of the snow. But I mean, you can see her walking into her power from a young age. Mm-hmm. So the title, the topic, the theme, sort of get into that for a moment.
Well, before we do that, Erin, I'm wondering if we could, you know, I want to pay homage to Anatole Rogers herself. Mm-hmm. This lecture series is named in honor of Anatole Rogers, mm-hmm. who was a stalwart, a stellar Bahamian educator. The first female
principal and the first at government high school,
exactly.
Right? Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And so, you know, all that she stands for, she was an outstanding Bahamian educator who extolled and exemplified the virtues of civic involvement, social commitment, and sound character. She was the first female principal, as we said, of the Government High, the Government High, under whose tenure many stellar graduates emerged to become national leaders and pioneering professionals.
Like,
that's
listen,
a very core.
Listen, if you could imagine that Anatole Rogers at one time may or may not have pinched Sir Randall Fox's ear and said, come here now, come here, settle down. Right? Not just that. Anatole Rogers was the eldest child of Cleveland H. Reeves, mm-hmm. after whom C.H. Reeves School is named, and Lucille Robinson Reeves. She was homeschooled by her mother before she was enrolled at the Eastern Senior School and Government High School. After receiving a Cambridge certificate with exemption for matriculation at the age of 15, she taught at the Western Junior School as a junior assistant tutor. I just want to stick a pin right there for a second and interrogate the academic space, right? And like academic culture. I think it's important for us to remember that we have people alive today who were teaching in classrooms at the age of 15 and 16, mm-hmm. so that we can understand young people's capacity for understanding, exercising, and operating within authority, so that we could begin approaching them differently and creating spaces that can continually teach them about how authority works, but also recognizes the inherent authority that they have. This woman started teaching at 15, and look at the people that she taught. Young people have the capacity to understand these concepts and to lead with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, because I mean, that's part of decolonizing education.
Yes.
Right? And realizing that there are these other sources of authority in the classroom, and that it's a you know, a shared process of learning between teachers and students where education, knowledge is produced. And that relates very much to some of the things that are going to be raised in this lecture.
Okay.
Right, about decolonial thought.
Absolutely.
Right. And in terms of decolonial thought, you know, we think of people like Walter Mignolo at Duke University and, you know, all the proponents of the decolonial. We think we live in a post-colonial era. You know, mm-hmm. and a lot of thinkers, theorists, take issue with that. No, we're still in the process of decolonizing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what our esteemed speaker, Dr. Smith, seeks to do in this lecture, based on the topic and so on, is to interrogate and to go fully, you know, full throttle in exploring at the epistemic level the kinds of ways in which the Bahamas and Bahamian thinkers are engaged in this process of decolonization.
Absolutely. I don't like it when teachers are on my show, because now I have to write an essay on decolonizing thought on the fringes of academia and incorporating the average voice into the collective consciousness and public thought, right? Like, I gotta go home and do my homework, man. I talk to Anatole Rogers, what you doing to us? Just this wave of a culture of appreciation for academia and the value that it has in our lives, mm-hmm. and the value it has in the lives of people who are not necessarily a part of academia and how they feed it, right? The artists capture the voices of the people, and the academics look at the artists, right, to see, sometimes for new language and ideas, but sometimes to see where language and ideas coincide mm-hmm. and collide and how we can grow them, right? Like, I have a thing, and because I went to QC and I was trained a certain way, and when I hear you all say female sometimes in the wrong context, I right? However, I still have to value those voices, right? And why they use females and why it's important in their context, right? And then how I could bring it to them that, hey, let's coincide, let's collide these two ideas and see where we end up. Mm-hmm. Academia, darn it. We're going to get to it. Anyway, there's a wonderful article, Anatole Rogers High School officially opens in Bahamas Weekly, 22nd of January, 2012, right? So it's a bit archival, but it's a great a read with a wonderful bio about Anatole Rogers and the opening of the school. Now, Dr. Smith, she is a Bahamian descent. You think we can get her back to the college, to the university?
Well, you know, we would love to.
Yeah. We need to figure out like an exchange program, right? Like where we could borrow our academics and have an exchange program, right? Where we send someone up and you send someone down, right? And send a couple Canadians with her.
This is true.
All right.
All of this is feasible. You know, she just, however, has a hefty portfolio.
Yes.
You know, with responsibility, you know, vice president of research and all of that. But yeah, that's a wonderful idea, you know, to have that sort of interchange going and building capacity in our institution. All of that would be wonderful. So whether we can have memoranda of understandings and agreements, et cetera, to make those things possible and feasible, sure.
Yes, because the national resources are there. How do we benefit from them without taking advantage of them or disadvantaging them, considering they locate themselves in a world with the intention of feeding back to the Bahamas, right? It'll be a great place for dialogue and exchange. And here's my next question. Will we have an opportunity to dialogue with Dr. Smith after the event?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, I mean, as part of the lecture, there's always a question and answer section where people can talk. And then there's a reception afterwards, and she'll be there and, you know, open to engaging the public.
All right, absolutely. And because she's a Bahamian, she'll be able to handle the standard, I have a comment and a question. Imagine some people understand that, like, some people get annoyed by it. But it's the speaker's attempt to contextualize what it is that they're about to say, especially since they recognize, in many instances, the language that you're using is not the language that I typically use. So let me show you what I mean before I ask you the question, right? And how do we codify that, right? And how do we qualify that as a mode of communication and comprehension?
Aaron, that's a very well-articulated way of putting it.
Yes.
And it happens invariably, you know, the dissertation, if you like, and then there's a question that follows. But it's all about, as you say, contextualizing or seeing it from my perspective. I remember years, if I may just say this, I remember having a student in my 120 class many, many, many moons ago. And he said to me, Dr. Searsing, what you have to understand is that you conceptualize in standard English. I conceptualize in Bahamianese. And then I translate it, and then I transcribe it. So it's a three-tier process for me, you know. And it was astounding. I'll never forget that, you know. And it's a fact. It's a truth. It's a facticity. And so what you say has eminent relevance for how people craft their questions and so on, and show that they've listened to everything. They have engaged. This discourse is not new to them. The language might be different from, you know, what is immediately accessible and the way they speak, but they're right there in it, and they have a legitimate bona fide question to
now,
ask.
Now, today was a bit of a struggle putting the two guests together because I wanted to talk to each set of guests for far longer than I got to. However, the magic of putting the two sets of guests today, because these types of conversations typically take place at the university only, is what you think. But conversations like these are taking place all over New Providence. Then the next iteration, I'd love to see the university partner with the community centers to bring the conversation to the community centers as well. Even if we don't host it at a community center, that we have a live feed, right? And there's space so people can write their questions as they're listening. We feed them to somebody to send them to the speaker so that they can also engage, right? Like, because the conversations that we be having on the corner are also valuable. I tell, when I was a young person and didn't have any sense, I'd tell people, listen, the problem with young people smoking weed is because they sit in the bush hiding, and then they only talk in foolishness because they don't want nobody to hear them, and they never reason. Right, if there is something to benefit from, they never do because of the space in which they consume it. These conversations that people are having everywhere are valuable. We need to encourage them and give people more and more language to express themselves and expand their thoughts, right? And so if we combine this sort of academic, university-level discourse in a community space with people who can interpret and translate and make the connections, we grow in.
And get the validation.
Right. So thank you for allowing me to accommodate the two conversations at the same time. It's a beautiful space, and it's the sort of thing that I benefit from. You know what I love most about a public event like this? Afterwards. The talking afterwards.
Absolutely.
The most valuable part of my experience with Walcott is juxtaposing Walcott, the author, with Walcott, the ordinary man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that was the most valuable, and not just in terms of understanding him, but understanding the world a bit better.
And it's interesting you should say that, because in his over, what you find is that he elevates the ordinary man.
Yes.
You know, Gregory, the old drunk from down the road, becomes Gregorius, you know, mm-hmm. and becomes mm-hmm. a very important character. And so that idea of seeing him through these, through this split lens, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
The elevated, decorated poet and the regular Joe Blow, as it were, you know, to see those two facets of the individual and thereby see how he honors that very thing in his view of humanity
mm-hmm.
and in his literary.
Again, listen, I'm getting ready to write a love poem for Bohemian Valentine's Day because I don't celebrate it like the rest of the world. There's a guy named Michael out there. He's like a poet. He got mothers with. I just hope that he never loves me as much as he loves the rum, right? But there's so much value, there's so much wisdom, right, that he shares, and all the community can do is hold him, right? Like, put buffers around him. How do we extract the value from these extraordinary lives, you know, belonging to ordinary people, and bring them to the fore? This has been a fabulous discussion. I got a couple of texts I have to read before we go. Good morning. I congratulate the people in Fox Hill for the lunch and learn. But in all seriousness, we don't need a circus. It should be collaborated with Mr. White and Dr. Fox. Let's get it right. If we can get... Okay, so it's Ministry of National Security's Community Centers Awareness Week. They could get involved. Hear the song? Everybody could get involved. My MP would get involved. He don't have a problem with that. We fight raccoon in St. Anne's constituency. We'll participate in any raccoon battle. Also, my daddy too, Muddos, love this song. Get involved, get involved. This is one of the classics, one that we can't forget. So let's repeat the details. Thursday, the 29th of January, 2026, 7 p.m., Harry Seymour Library, University Drive at the University, Dr. Melinda S. Smith, speaker for the 20th Anatole Rogers Memorial Lecture. Story Too Long for One Night, Indigenous Survivance, Slavery's Afterlives, and Bahamian Decolonial Thought. Dr. Sersing, Dr. Bailey, thank you very much. I'll see you all in class on Monday.
Thank you so very much.
Absolutely, I can write this essay, I promise. You guys, stay tuned because C.A. Newry is up. Guardian Radio AM has another exciting show for you. Have a great weekend.
Get involved, get involved. I love this stuff. Get involved, get involved. There's not a way to get involved. Come on, get off the...
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.